Today, I want to talk about something that I hear so many online entrepreneurs talking about, and that is burnout. And I also feel like there's been a lot of people I've noticed recently that I at least loosely follow online who've been quitting YouTube and things like that, or quitting social media, or quitting their businesses altogether because they feel burned out. I do not think that quitting is at all a problem in and of itself. If you want to quit, and that may be the right decision for a lot of people, and that's great. So I don't view that as a problem. But getting to this point of burnout is probably something that you want to avoid. And I think in some cases, what I think is not ideal is if it's something you really do want to keep going, but you can't avoid that burnout. So let's talk about how we can avoid that. Have you ever wondered what it's really like behind the scenes of a multi-7-figure business? We're talking real deal, unfiltered, non-sugar-coated version. And you'd rather learn from somebody who has sold direct to consumers rather than making all their money telling other people how to do exactly what they did. Well, you're in the right place. I'm Laura, your host of Get Profitable HQ. If I can do this, starting my business as the shyest person I know and running it today with 2 small kids, hobbies, travel, a chronic illness, and actually a life, then I know anyone can grow a successful business. Tune in each week for value-packed content to help you feel less alone in your journey to grow your business and for practical strategies to help you get to the next level, whether that be to quickly grow revenue and profit or grow slowly and be more efficient and spend less time in your business. I've been doing this for 11 and a half years. I've been an online entrepreneur, and I don't really feel like I've ever struggled with burnout. I would have never described it that way. Now, burnout can have a lot of definitions, but what it means to me is that you would get to a point where you're just completely exhausted. Maybe not even physically, although often physical exhaustion will accompany it, but you're feeling mentally and emotionally exhausted, like you just have nothing left to give. And I almost would imagine that it would be something like you just can't bring yourself to care. Like you used to be really into it and you used to really care and you used to care a lot about how your work was and how you did it and how it went. And I almost imagine burnout being like, it's hard to even care. Like I have nothing left. I can't think of another idea. This is what I imagine burnout to feel like. It's not something that I personally have experienced, but that's what I think of. That is not to say that I haven't had ups and downs because I've had plenty of those. That's not to say that I haven't been crying in my closet at 2 a.m. sometimes because of life or even business. That has definitely happened. So it's not to say that I haven't had any struggles, but I haven't felt tapped out ever. And why is that? And how can we avoid that? So this is not going to be a complete or exhaustive list. This is just going to be me sharing a few of my observations in case there's something here that will help you, whether you feel like you're experiencing this or not. And I would love for you to email me and tell me if any of this resonates with you or if you've had a burnout experience and what maybe you think could have helped either to prevent it or help you overcome it. Because I do know many people hit this point and then are able to get their passion back, which I think is beautiful. All right, let's first talk about one of the major reasons for burnout, I think, is as online entrepreneurs, unlike probably more traditional 9-to-5 jobs, work is like 100% constant. I mean, you could work 24 hours a day if you wanted to, especially because you're working for yourself. There is no limit. And not only could you work a lot and do a lot of people, you know, literally work a lot of hours, but also you're almost always thinking about it. Like I call my business my third baby. I have 2 kids. The business was actually before the kids, but I still think of it as my third baby. It's this living, breathing, growing thing that I have to nurture. And it's kind of like a part of me. And it's something that I think about a lot. And I think the constancy of just thinking about it, and then a lot of the strategies and tactics that people use to grow an audience require a lot of time. I mean, if you really want to rock Instagram, for example, you're going to go on there 20 times a day in story every single day without fail. That's exhausting. I don't do that. But again, that's why there's always something else you could be doing. There's always somebody online to consume the content. So there is no moment at which, like, I mean, if it's 2 a.m. on a Saturday morning / Friday night, you could create content then and there'd be somebody to watch it. So the constancy, I think, is a big issue here. And I don't have a perfect solution, except that I think you need to find a way to be able to turn it off. You need to find a way to be able to say, like, enough is enough and not always feel behind. Because again, if I let it, I could feel constantly behind. I could look at Oh my goodness. I haven't stored on Instagram in I don't know how many weeks. I haven't created a reel in who knows how long. I haven't done. Like the list of things you haven't done that probably other people are out there doing is huge. So I think being able to just declare, I'm not doing this. Like I'm not feeling guilty about it. I'm not putting it on my plate. And then having a way to turn it off. This can be difficult because it's something you think about a lot. So I think one of the best ways is you've all seen that quote, do more things that make you forget to check your phone. Do more things that make you forget to think about your business. Like you've got to have other things that are really engaging. And I found myself at the times in my life where I have focused maybe too much on work is because I had nothing else. Like there wasn't something else really driving me to focus on it, or those things were not going well in my life. And so it led me to over focusing on work. So one of the easiest ways is if you're just going to find other things. Hobbies, friendships, experiences, things that naturally draw you away and help you get out of your own head and get out of thinking about it. And another thing that really goes along with this is these days, especially with social media, the blending of life and business is next level. Like, wow, who knows where your life ends and your business starts? Because so much of the best content is incredibly authentic. And is bringing them into your real day-to-day life. And there isn't often a line between life and business. And I think that is going to lead to burnout because everything you do is just an opportunity to share it with the world. And I don't think we were meant to do that. I don't totally know what the cure to this is. One thing I will say is that I have built my business not so much around social media per se, but more on my email list. And this has helped a lot because I'm not really on social media very much. I'm not sharing my life. I even stopped sharing a lot of my home and things and content for videos. Not because I'm opposed. I think it'd be fine. And I occasionally do. I'll share something that I organized or something like that. But it was too much pressure. I would put off organizing things or doing things, or I wouldn't include my kids just because I wanted to get a good video out of it. And, you know, videoing a project, like an organization project, is really takes a lot. Like you've got to set up multiple cameras, multiple camera angles. A lot of times you got to do it more than once. And so I finally realized I was waiting to organize stuff just because of the channel. And I said, enough. When I'm working, I'll figure out something. But I am not going to make my life the subject of my business. So that's just something to think about. Now, I know some of you have different styles and different ways, and maybe you are on Instagram and you do need to be sharing on stories, and that's okay. But I think you still need to figure out how to put in boundaries. Are there sections of your life that you don't share? Are there times you don't share? I think you need to have that, or it will probably lead to burnout. Another huge source of this is feeling stress and pressure, like constant pressure. To do more, to do better, to sell more, to improve this. Again, there's endless ways to improve. And if you're just constantly feeling pressured or overwhelmed, or if you internalize things like customer feedback, if somebody says something negative, I remember the first time I got customer feedback. It was very early on in the business and I had made this printable planner basically. And I uploaded the wrong file and it had a bunch of wrong dates. Like it just wasn't proofread and a couple of the dates on the calendars were wrong, which is a pretty big mistake if you're using this as like a calendar, you know? And so someone wrote back, they were a little harsh. I've seen far worse, but they were a little harsh and like, I can't believe you sold something with all these mistakes and I paid whatever, $20 for it. And I cried. I cried for an hour. People pleaser, heartbroken. And it was an honest, like, it was truly my mistake. And of course, I corrected it. Like, I sent her a corrected file. I thanked her for feedback. But that, I internalized that so deeply. And now, well, I don't even look at my emails and things like that. But even when I do, I don't internalize it nearly so much. So I think learning how not to internalize every piece of feedback and learning that you're not going to please everyone. Somebody is going to want you to do more of personal content. Somebody's going to want you to do less personal content. Somebody's going to want you, like, people want the exact opposite. And the more you look at feedback online, the more we see this. For example, here's just a very concrete example for you. So we do a virtual summit every year and we ask for feedback. Like, we have these feedback surveys and we already know, like, I don't even know why we do the surveys, because I can tell you before the survey comes back, we know what people are going to say. But what'll happen is You'll look at one survey and one person will say, I don't like the interview style of sessions, because we have some where we actually get on Zoom and we interview the person and then we edit it, and some where there's no interviewer. It's just all the person producing the content themselves, more like a long YouTube video or something. And so somebody will be like, I just hate the interviews. And they'll probably have some concrete reasons why they don't like the interviews and they want people to do their own sessions. And you'll be like, oh, okay, well, I guess that means we should do less interviews, right? And then the next survey you'll look at will be like, I absolutely loved the interviews. It was so nice to feel like you were just like kind of looking in on a coffee chat, and the questions that the interview asked were so insightful. So the very next person loves them. There is no pleasing everyone. And just realizing that, I think, is going to help a ton, and learning how not to internalize that and learning how not to just feel constant pressure. And I don't know what the magic answer to that is. I think my brain is decently good at compartmentalizing and just saying, hey, I'm not going to worry about that right now. I'm moving on. But if you are coming from a place of feeling constant pressure, and I've even heard people say, and this is one of the things that I worried about before I hired my first employee, and now I have like several full-time employees, like they rely on this as, you know, their income. And before I hired employees, I thought that would be so stressful. Like, I cannot imagine having other people's like livelihood depend on me and my business. And honestly, it hasn't been all that stressful. I think it's because A, we're in this together. B, I was pretty conservative in hiring. So I do have some like reserve cash, so that it's not like if we have a bad launch, somebody has to go. Like it would have to be bad launch after bad launch after bad launch, in which we didn't find a way to rectify the situation. And I think the longer I am in business, the more confidence I have, like I could fix it. You know, I would have enough time and we could fix it and it would be okay. And there are no guarantees in life. And so it's not something that I think about on a constant basis. If I thought about it every single day, if I started my workday thinking, if you mess up, this is going to cost blah, 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 blah. If you take it too seriously, it's just going to feel overwhelmed. You're going to be working from a place of pressure and it's not going to work well. Switching gears a little bit, one of the other big things I see is that in business, sometimes we have declines. A lot of times we have growth. So our revenue is going to grow, our sales are going to grow, our customers, our followers, our views, whatever it is going to grow. But in the natural course of business and businesses that have been around a long time, there are ebbs and flows. It's not constant growth. And the same is true if you were like an athlete, let's say, and you were running marathons. I don't think that forever and ever, every single marathon you run would be better than the last one. You're going to have one that's slower and one that's faster. And that's really hard, because in the beginning with anything, let's say it's running. If I come from like kind of a couch potato, I don't really run, I don't know much about running, and I start in that first year, I mean, how fast I can run a mile is going to be huge. I mean, probably if you're a true couch potato and you're willing to like almost kill yourself with it, you might be able to hit like a 14-minute mile or something, maybe 15, something like that. But if you run consistently, you do like a couch to 5K program and then you keep that up, I mean, you'll easily, many people will easily be able to run a sub 10, maybe 8-minute mile. And that's shaving 5 minutes off in the first year. But the second year, you are not going to do that. I mean, you can do everything right, and you might shave another 15, 20 seconds off that mile. So this is normal. And the same is true in business. When you first start, a lot of times you're going to see big growth. You're going to see yourself go from 0 YouTube subscribers to 10,000 to 20 to 40. You're going to see all these things grow. And then you're going to hit a point of, it's actually more stability, which is good. But you're going to hit a point where not every video is going to get more views than the last one. Maybe your revenue is going to go down for a lot of reasons. I mean, 2020 for a lot of people, while it was a hard year, was actually good for online businesses. So they saw kind of like an artificial surge. And then that surge is going to naturally kind of come, you know, go away. And then you made less in 21 or 22 than you did in 21 or 20. And that's hard emotionally. And I don't have the perfect antidote to that. I have the same fear that if my stuff starts doing worse and worse, that I would struggle a lot more to stay motivated. But I think just realizing that it's normal and expected, and even looking for other ways to measure success rather than just those numbers, because it's not going to grow every single year. Along with that, with the growth, I think that there's often not really a finish line, or the finish line is fuzzy. So you don't totally know where you're going. Like when I started this business, I just wanted to make some money during nap times. And I didn't know where I was going. And then I would get there and then I'd be like, well, I guess I should make more. And then I guess I should do more. And there wasn't like a clear plan of where I wanted to go. And that can make it hard because you never actually know if you're succeeding. You don't really know where you're going. Now that antidote, that one's actually easier. It's making an end plan because your business is going to end. I've talked about this, I think, on this very podcast before. It's going to end sometime in some way. You're going to quit it. You're going to sell it. You're going to give it away. Something is going to happen. And so having that plan, even if you change it, because people change, you change, life changes, everything changes, that's okay. But having that plan is something that will help a lot with that, knowing where you're going. And here's another great burnout antidote. And this one's a little harder to achieve, but feeling successful. I think one of the reasons I haven't felt dire burnout is, yeah, I have made some mistakes. I've had some launches just bomb and things like that. But overall, if you look at month after month, I have never had like two terrible launches in a row. I've really never had a bad year where we just really didn't meet our revenue or profit goals. I mean, might have been under a little bit, but nothing major. And so that's kept me motivated. Like it's always mostly working. And even when it doesn't, it's not like a huge period of not really working. And so I think that if we got to the point where I tried something and it just really didn't work, and I tried something else and it didn't work, and I tried something else, like this is very, very understandable that people would start to struggle with feeling burnout in this situation. And I've seen people do this. They've tried things, they just haven't worked. And so the more you can actually succeed, the better it's going to be. Now, I don't have the magic answer to that. And this is true in anything. If I tried to take up a sport and I'm really terrible at it, let's say when I was younger and I tried volleyball because that was the thing that everybody played, I was so bad at it, so bad that it wasn't fun. And even when I practiced, I was seeing no success. And I think had I been seeing success, I probably would have practiced more and I would have liked it more. So whatever you can do to get success, do it. Like that's going to help a lot. And then the other thing I think you're going to need to do here is work on defining success in different ways, because a lot of what we measure success by is something we can't control. Like, for example, I make YouTube videos every week and I would like every video to get a ton of views. I would certainly like them to get, you know, at least my average views. So this is my desire. And this is kind of a goal and something that we measure. How many views does each video get? But that's not something I directly control at all. I can't control, like I put it out there. I can't go force people to watch it. So it's not something I really have control over. Instead, what do I have control over? I have control over how many videos I produce, over how much time I spend thinking about the title and the thumbnail, which are things that affect it, how many titles I even brainstorm. And then that will increase the likelihood that I pick one that's better, over whether or not I split test, over how much effort I put into things like B-roll and things like that. So those are things I do have control over. So it's helpful to change my thinking and be measuring those things and feeling success over those things rather than the final outcome, which isn't something I have control over. A lot of people will call those leading and lagging indicators. So like, say you're on a sales team and you want to get 10 new clients this quarter. You don't directly control that, but you might control how many people you call every day or whatever. That would be the leading indicator, and the lagging is how many clients you get. So really thinking of success in terms of those leading indicators and those things that you do control. Another thing that helps a ton is having friends, family, coaches, and a team, other people surrounding me. I don't feel alone. When I first started, I didn't know any bloggy friends. I didn't have any coaches. I wasn't in any courses. I wasn't in any Facebook groups, but I had family that would listen to me, and I would just talk to them all about what I was doing in my business, and they would listen. That helped. And then over time, I've gotten even way more of a support network. So my team helps me avoid burnout a ton because I don't feel like I'm in it alone. They're right there in the trenches with me. Even if it's not exactly the same, they're still in there. They're still doing it with me. I can still have a vent session with one of them about like, oh my goodness, we worked so hard on this. I can't believe it didn't have the outcomes we wanted. Like just that alone is really helpful. And then I have some blogging friends, I guess you would call them. I don't know if it's really blogging business friends that I can send a message to and be like, hey, what do you think about this? What's your feedback here? Or I can just say, hey, I'm feeling really down about this. Like, can you help me? I have a mastermind and that has a ton of people in it that I interact with. I go in person twice a year. That is a game changer. Anytime you can go and connect with people in person, it changes the game. So do that. Absolutely do that. Whether it's like an official mastermind or a conference, or whether you just get two or three of your blogging buddies and you say, hey, we're going to meet up here in this city on this weekend, whatever it is, that is huge. And I have, with the mastermind, I also have a coach that I can reach out to. So that helps a ton. So if that's not something you have, just start small and see if you can get more support and more people to talk to so you don't feel alone. And people can also help validate, like say, yeah, you're right. It is really hard. When you have a bad launch, you're going to feel awful. That is normal. And they can also help you see, but this isn't the end. Hey, this was one launch out of 10 you have planned this year. So you still have 9 more chances. Like, they can help pull you out as well. And this last one, I don't hear as many people talking about this, but I think it makes a huge, huge difference. So listen up. When I am working most of the time, not 100% of the time, I am far from perfect, but most of the time I'm actually being really, really productive. And that in and of itself is a huge motivator. It's hugely satisfying. I feel productive. I am not usually spending most of my work time scrolling on social media and kind of watching a little bit of this course and kind of thinking about doing this thing and thinking about doing something else and just kind of, you know, who knows, not really getting stuff done. No, I am productive. I am getting things done and I am working. And there is just something intrinsically motivating about hard work. I read the book years ago. I highly recommend it, called Deep Work. So good. So good. The principle is basically, in today's fast-paced environment, we don't get chances to do what is considered deep work. So we're constantly interrupted and we can't really get in the zone and in the flow. And getting in the flow feels amazing. And we don't let ourselves do it. One huge problem is constant interruption. So one thing that I personally do is I don't have hardly any notifications really ever. Like, my Slack doesn't notify me. I do get notified of phone calls or text messages, but nothing else. I don't see when I get emails. I don't even let it, like, you know how that little in the corner, it'll give you that little number of how many unreads. I turn that off. I don't want to see that. I don't want to know that. When I am working, I am working. I'm not constantly being interrupted. If I was getting Slack notifications and this notification and email notifications, I would be working for 10 minutes and then getting distracted. I'm working for 10 minutes and then getting distracted. So I make sure that most work days, I have something that I get accomplished. And regardless of the outcome, that feels really good. And that's how you're going to get better at your craft. So whatever you do, if you can get that deep work in, that's how you'll improve. And that's how it's kind of that feeling of, like, I get really into it. And a lot of times I don't want to start. Like, there's resistance there. Like, oh, I don't want to have to write another sales page or review another sales page, or I don't want to do this video or whatever. So I don't always want to start. But once I do, I usually get into it. And the time passes so quickly. And I'm like, I can't believe an hour went by and I got something done. So I just think really being productive in your work time. And this is another thing I will say. If you aren't being productive, if you're really struggling, don't pretend to work and not really get anything done. That does nothing. You didn't get much done. You didn't feel good. You didn't get something else done. You didn't even really get to relax because you were just supposedly half trying to work. No. Instead, if you need to take a break, take a break. Meaning, take a day off, do something else, go outside, go for a walk, call a friend, go to lunch, do housework. Sometimes I like to do house projects that are, like, more active, you know, labeling something, reorganizing something, doing something kind of crafty. I have some small paper crafts that I do. Like, do something else. Or if you want to sit and watch a TV show, that's fine. Do it and don't feel guilty about it. Just say, hey, right now, I think what I need is some rest. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch an episode of this show. So that's another thing that I do, is when I really need it, I will take the breaks and I will not feel bad about it. And one other thing that I think also makes a difference is, yes, you can schedule breaks and lots of people talk about that. I will tell you that I don't do that very well. I work a decent amount. I don't have a decent amount of, like, days that I'm not working. It's not like I never work on Sunday or I never work here or anything like that. I guess I work kind of a lot, although my total work hours are usually these days more in the, like, 20-ish, you know, 20 to 30 per week. Whereas there have been times they've been 40 to 60, but the last couple of years they've been much, much lower, in part because I wanted them to be. I had other things I wanted to focus on. My chronic health issues have just made me have less time, period, in life, because there's more hours that I'm, you know, not able to be super functional. And as my kids have gotten older, they've required more time of me, which wasn't what I expected, but especially more mental energy, which I guess is normal. I just didn't expect that. So that's why I'm not necessarily spending a lot of time working, but I do not have a lot of time that I'm like, oh, we don't work, which a lot of people do that. And if that works for you, great. But here's why I think that works for me. I almost never feel like I have to work. I feel like at any point, if I want to, I can take a break. If I wanted to take a week off, I could do that. If I wanted to just work 2 hours a day this next week because I wanted to focus on something else, I could do that. So I feel like I have that flexibility, and that I think makes all the difference. I don't feel trapped. I don't feel like I have to. I feel like I get to, and I feel like if I wanted to, I could take breaks. That I think makes a huge difference. So make sure your life is structured where you don't feel constantly like you have to. One of the things that helps with this is getting ahead. So I really hate the feeling, especially when it comes to video and content, of like, this is due next week. So I tend to get ahead and not be in situations as much where it's like, I absolutely have to. And one other thing about burnout, I think, is that being in your zone of genius more is going to be the biggest antidote ever, because it's not going to feel like work. And not just that, it's not going to feel as much like work. It's still work. I mean, let's be honest. But you're going to feel more competent and confident. And that's a huge antidote, because if you feel like if you're working outside of your zone of genius, then you're going to feel constantly frustrated. You're going to feel very insecure when things aren't going well because you don't totally know how to fix it. But if you are working more in your zone of genius and creating a business that works with your own abilities and talents, or else hiring people who have different abilities than you, then you're going to feel that much more comfortable and capable when problems do arise. So I hope these thoughts have helped you, just given you some things to think about on how to maybe structure your work to where you can have a better balance and where maybe you don't end up in burnout. Again, I would love to hear from you. If you have any tips or tricks that have helped you, let me know, send me an email, and I'll see you next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Get Profitable HQ. If you did, don't forget to subscribe, share it with your business besties, and leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. And if you love this and can't wait to get more, I have an entire bank of resources and more behind the scenes info at getprofitablehq.com. Go ahead and head there.